This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Oh God of revival,
let hope arise, death is overcome. And good morning, good morning, good morning. This is Wednesday Live, and I'm Jonathan. I don't say my name very often coming in here, but I'm part of this crew, and it's a blessing to be here today in the studio. And Karen, welcome back.
Amen. Good to be back.
Where have you been? You disappeared. You were vacationing. And
yes, I was. Had a couple of, well, almost 2 weeks of wonderful vacation up in Massachusetts with beautiful, balmy weather.
Balmy weather.
And
what's
it was
that mean?
Perfect. It 50s? Was 71 degrees and 71. Perfect all day long, every day.
Wow.
A little bit cooler at night.
Did you get any of those good donuts up there?
I don't think I ate. I don't think I ate a single donut.
Didn't you tell me a story about donuts and your father or something?
Well, Dunkin' Donuts originated. Giving a plug for them.
See, that's
but, they don't sponsor us or anything.
No, they don't.
But
no,
they occasionally find one in our stomachs. Yes. I know for me. Anyway.
Occasionally. But anyhow, Karen, great to have you back. David.
Yep. Yeah. Welcome to. I was glad to be here.
Did I hear Ma and Paul might show up today?
You are absolutely right. They might be on their way.
I hope they cleaned their shoes before they left the farm. Just saying. I don't know. James Weir, great to have you here today.
Great to be here. I finally got to meet Ma and Paul after all this time.
Ma and Paul, they came in. You know, for their age, they're pretty ginger. So I'm glad to see that.
They sport around pretty good. I like that new Corvette they got sitting there.
Yeah, but the tractor tires on it don't look so great to me. You know? Yeah, Paul has to use that in the mud competitions, you know.
That's right.
Well, I want to welcome, I don't think, you came on air already, haven't you, Chelsea? One time?
No, this is my first time.
This is your first time. So, Karen, why don't you welcome Chelsea? You know, you girls, you're all together on one side of the studio.
That's right.
Well, Chelsea and her mom stopped by earlier, I think before summer started, and Chelsea's homeschooled, and she wanted to learn a little bit about the radio station. But you were going on your summer vacation. You just returned, so now we're going to be having you come in a few times, and we're going
to. Is she old enough to be an apprentice, though? I'm just wondering.
Well, she's smart beyond her years,
yes.
Oh,
Jonathan,
she is.
So no problem there.
She can learn easily.
I'm not hard to teach.
Boy, that was a good comeback, wasn't it? She's not hard to teach. That. There you go. I don't know how much there's going to be to learn, but Chelsea, why radio and why did you want to come here?
I've always just, loved the radio and all music-related. And my mom wanted me to be in a Christian environment where I can help the community more.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot today. I didn't tip you off that this was coming, but we've sort of started a new thing. Miss Karen knows all about it. We're working on bringing in the top 40
the top 40 contemporary Christian songs, and I'm going to need an assistant to help me select which one of those songs are going to be going on air. So as you come in here as an apprentice, we're going to be working on that together, and we're going to start bringing some kicking music so you and your friends can know what's going on out there.
Wow, that's just great news.
Yeah.
Because we're up to now, we've been missing that crowd.
Yep.
You're right. And I understand that, because when I found WCNO, it was geared towards a specific mindset of Christian.
Right.
But we're going through a huge cultural shift here right now.
We are.
We are. And I'm glad that WCNO recognizes that, and these young people are the ones that we need on board leading this charge.
Amen.
That's right, because like in 100 years, James, we'll probably retire.
Be long gone. be sitting in the spectator section.
There you go. So we need some younger folks that are coming up that understand the mission, the vision, and the opportunity of reaching a lot of people. And so it's really great to have Chelsea with us. She's going to be with us in studio all morning today, and that's really great. And this is kind of a new thing. We're Karen, we're now 2 months into moving in some top 40 into our playlist.
Yes, we've been interspersing them in.
Little by little, we're going to hang on to the gold of the old. The old gold we want to keep.
Yes.
But then we want to bring the new gold in. So we need people like Chelsea to come in and say, yeah, that's great, because I heard some things, I don't know about that. So maybe Chelsea will help us understand that. We're going to stick to the message.
I listen to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm 74. I love it.
Well, good.
You know, I'm beyond the hymns.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it like that. Don't
you're
be offended.
You're
please.
Behind.
Just,
you're beyond that.
I'm beyond the hymns.
Okay.
I want something that makes my heart beat a little faster.
Okay.
I hear that.
All right. So you're probably into Jelly Roll and Hallelujah
song. I
haven't
got the Jelly Roll yet, but I'm working my way in that direction. If he's got something to offer, I want to hear it.
Well, do you know who Jelly Roll is?
Yes.
What's your favorite song of his?
Oh, I don't really listen to him a lot.
You don't listen to him a lot, but you're familiar with who he is.
Yes.
Yeah. And he just came out with a song, I think it's his best. And my wife's like, you've
got
to listen to this. She listened to it three times.
Following he does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. You know, God is raising up a whole new generation. He's dragging people out of all kinds of places.
Amen.
And they're just showing up in places of kingdom ministry. That is awesome. And here this guy's out there worshiping. I look at him and I'm like, wow, man, I think he got lost in a paint shop or an art shop or a tattoo shop or something. You know, I'm like, that guy really, you know, that must have hurt. But he's praising God.
I know. They're out there.
They're praising God.
And they're bridging the gap.
Yeah.
Bridging the gap.
Between the culture and the church.
Yeah.
And it's a great thing, because not everybody in his concerts are Christians.
Well, speaking of the gap, Ma and Paul just showed up, and we're going to have to jump.
It's a good.
But before, just hang on 1 second, Ma and Paul. We don't want you jumping into the mics too quick. Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, coming up September the 25th. This is for the Treasure Coast of Florida. Local pastors, leaders going to be leading prayer 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock. At 7 o'clock, we're going to have a great Treasure Coast I Stand with Israel event. Paul Wilbur, who's been traveling the world and raising up young messianic musicians literally around our country and over in Israel, all over the place, is going to be with us. So with a whole team, we're going to have a night of powerful worship and ministry that's going to take place right here in Palm City, New Hope Church, out 3900 Citrus Boulevard. Go to TCC Alliance. That's for Treasure Coast Christian Alliance.com. TCC Alliance. Tickets are only $10. We're just looking to cover cost. In fact, I have two tickets right here I'm going to give away. And I've been giving tickets away. I love to give stuff away. Let's see. Sophie ended up with, what did Sophie end up with? I think she ended up with tickets. Two tickets. Son ended up with, I don't know how many tickets Son ended up with. One ticket. I know somebody there from Fort Myers, and they're like, yeah, I want to come. Like, well, why not? I mean, Paul Wilbur is, but God's going to show up. It's going to be awesome. And Joyce Ended up with two tickets. And again, today we have two tickets. Don't call now because we will not give them away yet. I'll let you know when we're going to give them away. Karen, don't let me forget to give these tickets away. But you need to listen as we move along through the morning. And so here we go. Ma and Pa. Welcome. Even though Ma and Pa are getting up in age, they are in decent shape, not decrepit, but in decent shape. It helps that they stay physically active. You may have seen them out jogging this morning in your neighborhood, and both seek proper... I'm getting messed up today. Dave, you're going to have to help me. Ma and Pa, help me out here. It helps if they stay physically active and both seek proper challenges physically and mentally. Recently, Pa sustained an injury. He's been hobbling around the farm for several days, moaning, complaining, and it's driving Ma up the wall. Well, Ma's repeated requests for insight about how Pa injured himself have not been satisfied, and Ma suspects that Pa's pride won't let him admit that he did something stupid. Furthermore, Pa has refused to seek treatment. This morning, Pa is dragging himself up to the porch to sit with Ma, and it's very likely that Ma's frustration is going to reach critical mass.
Hey, Ma, you got a minute?
Well, you know, I'm glad you're headed in my direction, Pa, but, you know, I got a lot of things to do today. But I've been meaning to have a conversation with you anyway, so now would be a good time.
Let me just get my legs. Oh, man, that hurts. Oh. It's good to get off my feet for a bit.
Well, you got to tell me what's wrong with you, because I don't have a lot of time. Yeah. Since you got back from that fishing trip with old Bob Fratling and Cyrus Grattenfarb, man, you've been hobbling around, moaning and groaning, and in general, being a super pain in the behind. What's going on with you?
Well, I'd figured that it'd be better in a day or two, and I wouldn't have to tell you what happened. But that ain't the case, I guess. So I might as well have a good idea here. I'm going to fill you in on what happened.
Okay, I'm all ears, Pa.
So, me, Bob, and Cyrus decided to get some fishing done, and Bob knew of this great place in the Gator Grunt Swamp out north of town. I'd never been fishing there before, so I was particularly eager to get a drop of line and see what I could bring up.
The Gator Grunt Swamp? Pa, what possessed you guys to go out there? You know the reputation that place has for danger, don't you? I mean, folks have disappeared in there. A lot of folks. And it's just, it's said that the gators that live in that swamp are huge.
Yeah, I heard them rumors too. But, you know, Bob says he goes in there all the time and always comes home with a mess of fish. He's never had a problem in there. So, well, we just decided the promise of getting a load of fish was worth the risk.
All right. So we'll just move past that issue of your total flushing of common sense and go right to the injury you sustained. How did that happen?
Well, we got to the place where Bob always puts in his boat, and he backed up to get the trailer in the water, and Cyrus and I worked on unhooking the boat so Bob could move his truck. Well, that worked out all right, and we all got in the boat. Bob fired up the motor, and off we went to his favorite fishing hole.
Well, I'm not hearing about your injury yet, Pa.
I'm getting to it, Ma. It didn't happen right away, okay? I mean, for the most part, our day was just a great fishing trip. That is, until Cyrus fell out of the boat.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell me anyone else got hurt on this trip.
Well, you didn't ask me, Ma. But besides which, now you got me telling the whole story. You got to just wait while the whole series of events unfolds.
Series of events?
Now, just calm down. Just relax. Everybody's fine, more or less.
Pa.
Oh, so anyway, Cyrus fell out of the boat because he was messing with his tackle box. He couldn't wait for us to get to the fishing hole to pick out the bait he was going to use. And I guess he wouldn't have fallen out of the boat if Bob hadn't bumped a cypress knee. But when he hit the cypress knee, it jostled Cyrus's tackle box, and a bunch of his worms got knocked overboard. Well, old Cyrus reflexively reached out to catch him, and he lost his balance. Over he went with a big splash.
Oh, goodness, Pa. So you got him back in the boat, right?
Well, old Bob throttled back the engine and then reversed it. We got alongside old Cyrus, and Bob and me tried to haul him back in the boat. Now, you might remember he lost his right leg several years back, and they made him one of them prosthetic legs.
Oh, I do remember that, Pa. He was cutting down a tree in his backyard with a chainsaw, and then a raccoon that lived in the tree attacked him. He ran at that raccoon with the chainsaw, tripped, landed on that saw, and that was it for his leg.
Yeah, you're remembering correctly, Pa. So anyway, there's Osiris standing up in the water, and we're coming up to him to grab his arms, when suddenly one of them huge gators swims up and chomps down on his fake leg. So now we get Osiris being dragged through the water. This gator had to be 15 feet long or more, was just about to submerge, and Osiris was screaming his lungs out.
Well, I hadn't heard that Osiris died recently, so y'all must have saved him.
Yeah, old Bob got us alongside Osiris, and I grabbed his arms. Bob put the engine in neutral, then came back to help me pull him in the boat. It was a real tussle, Ma. I mean, being Bob, holding on to Osiris, and that gator thrashing his tail to get Bob away from us. What saved Osiris was that his fake leg got tore loose, and he came flying back into the boat.
Oh, good Lord, Pa. That was close. I imagine after all that, your boys came back home, right?
Well, not exactly. You see, when Osiris tore loose and old Bob and me were pulling so hard on him, old Bob flew forward and his elbow hit the transmission and the throttle, and we shot ahead over the water at full speed.
Oh, Pa, I just can't believe what you're telling me. I mean, it's something from a bad movie. There's supposed to be a simple fishing trip.
Not so simple at this point in the story. So all of us ended up in a tumble on the deck, you know, with the hull of the boat bouncing up and down. And I told old Bob, you know, you really didn't need to put 200 horsepower motor on this thing. But of course, Bob's dawning revelation of his excessive desire for engine power didn't help us as the boat streaked over the open water.
And you all were out of control.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We were all tangled up with each other. Bob and me trying to get to the throttle to slow us down. Old Cyrus starting to cry because he just realized the gator kept his fake leg. And then Bob got his hand on the throttle.
Oh, thank the Lord. He yanked it back and saved every one of you, right?
Well, he would have done that if we hadn't hit the sandbar first.
Oh, sandbar. Sandbar. Pa, I thought you all were in the open water.
Ma, the thing about being in a swamp is that swamps ain't known for a lot of open water. So we slammed into the sandbar. And when we did, old Bob got thrown out of the boat. And old Cyrus and me watched as he sailed in a high arc and disappeared into a stand of cypress trees.
Now, wait a minute. You're telling me that now it's old Bob who's in danger? And is it at this point that you got injured? Listen, Pa, I'm getting so twisted up in suspense, I'm not sure I can hold it together for much longer. And you don't want me to lose it, do you?
Just hang on, Ma. Everything gets better. So the boat had dug into the sandbar, and I killed the motor. I got old Cyrus into a seat, got him an RC Cola from the ice chest. Once he was secure, I jumped into the water and waded into the stand of trees to rescue old Bob.
Pa, what were you thinking? You're still in the swamp full of gators and other dangerous creatures, and you're going alone to look for Bob? Why don't you just call 911?
Ma, we were maybe an hour from any rescue getting where we were, and old Bob may have been in dire straits, and I do have some medical training.
Oh, yeah, you got your first aid merit badge at the age of 12 when you were in the Boy Scouts. You passed that test by successfully wrapping an ace bandage on your friend's ankle. And then it was too tight, so his foot fell asleep. And when he walked away, he fell and broke his arm.
True. But then I wrapped his arm in that bandage, and the scoutmaster was impressed. Anyway, we had to find old Bob, so I slogged into that stand of trees, and I was thinking I'd be there for quite a spell looking for him, but I found him quick.
Well, that's real good, Pa. So you could just see him right in front of you?
Well, not really, but I could hear his high-pitched screams, and I followed the sound, and there he was, laying in the mud on his back, while a mama egret tried to peck out his eyes for falling in her nest.
Oh, Pa, is this going to end soon?
In a minute, Ma. So I went over to old Bob and chased the egret away, and then I put him in a fireman's carry, which, by the way, I also learned for that merit badge, and I hauled him to the boat. Now, you got to know that I was praying furiously in my head during all this, and so when I came out of that stand of trees, some feller in an airboat had stopped to help Cyrus. When he saw me, he jumped in the water and waded over. Then him and me carried Bob back to the boat. Then he was kind enough to tow us to the landing and help us trailer Bob's boat. Bob couldn't drive, and Cyrus was, well, you know, down a leg. So I drove us all the way back.
That's some story for sure. And I'm guessing old Bob and old Cyrus are recuperating nicely, but you still haven't told me yet how you got injured.
Oh, well, when we got back to Bob's place, I got out of the truck and twisted my ankle.
What? That's it? You twisted your stupid ankle after all your misadventures in the swamp? After this entire escapade of idiocy and near-death experiences, you just twisted your ankle?
Well, yeah, but I twisted it bad, Ma. I may have to go to the doctor and have him look at it.
Well, while you're at it, have him look at that head of yours, too. I think there's something twisted up there, because you always seem to find trouble, Pa.
Maybe so, but you know I was a man of adventure when you married me.
Well, Mr. Adventure Man, why don't you get to the doctor to get this, so he can fix you up so you can make a heroic foray into the North 40 and do some planting.
Well, Paul does seem to find his share of challenging experiences, doesn't he? But in his story, he did tell us that he was praying in the midst of it all, and this is the mark of a true believer, that he realized he and his friends didn't have what it was going to take to save them. The situation called for God's power and a trust that God would be there for them. The truth is just this. Not every moment of suffering and trial is from the devil. There are times we bring it on ourselves when we don't think things through or when we make decisions from emotion rather than reflective prayer. Regardless of the reasons for our painful misadventures, we can rely on God's promises to be with us always and to have already planned to save us. Paul would agree with the words of Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Well, I hope this truth is in your hearts today as well, and watch out for the swamps. We're going to be back in just a moment, so keep your dial set right here on 89.9.
Nations will be flowing to Zion when they see the house of the Lord, running to his peaceful kingdom. Shouting, they lay down their swords. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Spirit of burning, let your beautiful fruit shine forth. That everyone who's left inside will be called holy forevermore. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain, he will teach us his ways.
Rise and shake the earth so mightily. Send your glory all across the land. Then everything that's proud and lofty will bow down before the Son of Man.
Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. Come, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways. Come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the Lord. To the mountain, he will teach us his ways. Come, come, let's go up to the mountain. Come, let's go up to the mountain.
All right, and of course that is Paul Wilbur with Let's Go, Come Let's Go Up to the Mountain. Paul Wilbur is coming to the Treasure Coast. We're going to have an awesome evening coming up September the 25th. You do need to make arrangements, get a ticket. We only have about 700 seats out there. And Treasure Coast Alliance invites you. It's called the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer, Thursday, September the 25th, 6 o'clock. Going to have regional leaders coming together to pray over the Treasure Coast. 7 o'clock, we're going to have a great evening with Paul Wilbur. And we also are going to have Raleigh Washington with us, who has now joined us on air. Raleigh, we want to welcome you to WCNO. We're live on air now.
Yeah, I'm so blessed to be here with you, my brothers.
We are blessed to have you with us and looking forward to this event. Now, you've been traveling with Paul Wilbur a little bit, haven't you?
Yes, I have. We're covenant partners, and we are New Humanity, One New Man Team, Jew and Gentile, One in Messiah. And so we minister together all for the praise and glory of God, but especially to challenge people of their biblical responsibility to stand with God's chosen people.
Amen, amen. Now, Raleigh, for those who don't know you right off, didn't you have a little something to do back in the Promise Keeper days?
Well, I went to Promise Keepers in 1996 as the vice president for reconciliation. 2 years later, they made me the executive vice president for global ministry. I spent my last 10 years at Promise Keepers as president and CEO. That was from 2008 to 2018. And Coach Bill McCartney, who went to be with the Lord earlier this year, he and I were best friends, joined at the hip, and doing all of that time, challenging men to be godly men, to be men of integrity, and stand with God's chosen people.
All right, Raleigh, those were tremendous days. Those were tremendous days. My father, actually, our family's kind of torn apart by a lot of things, like a lot of families have been, and dad was remarried and a lot of things had happened, but we were on the west coast of Florida. I don't know, there were 40,000 or however many of us over there, but that was a breakthrough night that changed our whole day, that changed our whole family. And you were probably there at that time. Dad flew in, and it was the day when first time in my life that my father laid hands on me after a lot of apologies and a lot of tears. Grown men, many crying, weeping, and having reconciliation, and Dad laid hands on me and spoke a blessing over my life and ministry, and what a breakthrough day. What a great ministry. But the ministry goes on, doesn't it, Raleigh? And you are on the front line with Paul Wilbur, and we are seeing God do some awesome things. So tell us what's going to happen coming up here on the 25th. What can people expect that come to this event?
Well, they're going to hear a great concert from Paul Wilbur, which is always very, very special. But they're going to hear his heart for where God's chosen people in Israel, in America, and around the world are in this hour. I think God's chosen people are under siege, greater than it was during the time of Hitler. Not only in Israel, as they are still fighting Hamas to finish that war, but America and really around the world. Anti-Semitism is at a height, I believe, greater than it was even during the time of Hitler.
Why is that, Raleigh? Why is that? And what can we do about it?
I do believe the dynamic, first we should understand this. Fox News, a couple of months ago, reported a survey that they had taken. And in that survey, it revealed that 21% of the population of the United States of America are openly and blatantly anti-Semitic, actively 21%. Now, that number-wise comes out to be over 70 million individuals in our nation are blatantly and openly anti-Semitic. And I believe it is because they don't understand God's heart. They don't understand God's people. They don't understand what the Bible says. It's a spiritual dynamic. Stop and think about it. On one nation that has been defeated and disappeared well over a dozen times, according to Bible history and truth. But after each one of those times, they have returned to become strong and stronger. That has been true for Israel. In 1948, they were reclaimed again as a state after being absent for a very, very long time. Well, no other nation on the earth claimed that it was defeated and that nation disappeared and returned. Not one nation. Every other nation that has been defeated, it no longer exists. But Israel keeps returning. Why? Because Israel is God's land. Jewish people are God's chosen people. And when they disobey him, certainly his wrath comes upon them. But he always says in scripture, after he says, you did this and I've done this for you, however, my hand is still held out. So it is a spiritual dynamic that has some powerful physical manifestations.
Raleigh, what does the Bible have to say to the church? Because a great shock to me, my first fam tour to Israel, I was so excited to go with a bunch of pastors and ended up getting over there and found out that my love for Israel was on the opposite side of the world from where a lot of these pastors were coming from. What does the Bible have to say to us as Christians, and how can pastors be so confused over this issue?
Right now, we have an issue. It's a spiritual dynamic. It is also a theological issue, and it also is a issue of not knowing what you don't know. Unfortunately, there are theological interpretations you can find in the Reformed tradition, theological interpretations that you can find in a dispensational dynamic can really eliminate the place of Israel in God's economy. A number of my friends who are Reformed will say that the Israel today is not the Israel of the Bible. Nothing can be further from the truth. There's only one Jerusalem. There's only one Mount of Olives. There's only one Sea of Galilee. So it is the same. But they say that because they say, well, the one in the Bible, Israel in the Bible, they were biblical, but the one now is secular. So wrong. Elijah said this, Lord, they have killed your prophets and they're coming after me. How did God respond to Elijah? Say, Elijah, I have preserved for myself 7,000 who have not bowed a knee to Baal. So at that time, perhaps 2 million in Israel, and 7,000 of the 2 million is very equivalent today of the approximately 40 to 45,000 believers who are in Israel today, with over 6 million Jewish people in Israel, and there are 40 to 45,000. That's a small number, but that's an approximate number of what's been consistent throughout biblical history for those in Israel who really embrace the Lord.
And we see that growing, which is tremendous. And as as a kid growing up, I knew one Jewish lady, and I thought that was the most wonderful thing in the whole year when she would come and speak to the congregation on the college campus I was on. I thought that was absolutely awesome. We grew up in a little Christian campus, college campus environment, and it was tremendous today. As you said, 45,000. I asked a rabbi the other day, I said, how many Messianic, born-again, completed Jews are there? And he said, we don't know for sure, but it's a growing number, and that's exciting. That is exciting. Where does Islam, radical Islam, terrorism, where does that play into this whole anti-Semitic issue that we have here in the States on our campuses? And I actually have a young lady with us in studio today. Might ask her perspective, because I was shocked to have a young man in high school who came in with that very position that you were just talking about, that the Israel today is not the Israel of the Bible, and being taught that Israel is killing kids and babies and starving them to death, and there's just a lot of lie there. How does this radical Islamic movement tie into all of this?
But let me finish the previous question you mentioned about the Bible.
Okay.
And then I'll dive right into this issue of radical Islam. First, everyone should know this. If there were no Jews, there would be no forefathers, no Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. If there were no Jews, there would be no prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. If there were no Jews, there would be no Bible, because the Bible is written by Jews led by the Holy Spirit. If there were no Jews, there would be no Jesus, and we'd have no salvation as such. So we need to understand, if God's chosen, and Jewish people are incredibly important to understanding Bible salvation, to understand what God is saying and doing in this hour. In Genesis chapter 12, God says, I'll bless those who bless you, Abraham, and curse those who curse you, Abraham being the father of the nation. In Zechariah chapter 2, verse 7, God says to the nation that plundered Israel, he says, I'm going to plunder you because you plundered Israel. Did you not know that they were the apple of my eye? In Romans chapter 9, Paul said he would lay down his life, give up his salvation for the sake of his people, who are the Israelites. Romans 11:11 says this, that they, meaning the Jews, meaning Israelis, that they stumble so as to fall. He said, may it never be. But by their transgression, what is the transgression of the Jews corporately? They denied the Savior. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles.
Amen.
And to make them jealous. So the Bible talks about two categories of people, Jew and Gentile. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile. And the issue is the Bible is replete, and I've only touched with history, but I'll mention this one of the scripture. And Matthew chapter 25, in the Olivet Discourse, Jesus returns with his holy angels to judge the nations, meaning to judge the Gentiles. And he judged them based on how they treated God's chosen people. He says, when I was hungry, you fed me, thirsty, you gave me the drink, naked, you clothed me. Lord, when do we see you do that? He says to the righteous ones, to the degree that you did it to the least of these, my brethren, the Israelites, you did it to me. And for those who were on the left, he said, cursed are you, to the place where gnashing of teeth. Why? Because when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. Thirsty, you didn't give me nothing to drink. Naked, you didn't clothe me. Said, you didn't come to me. And those would say, well, when do we see you? Thirsty, hungry, naked, and sick? He said, to the degree that you didn't do that to the least of these, again, his brethren, then you didn't do it to me. So scripture is replete, and I've only touched the surface of that dynamic.
Riley, we're running out of time, and I want to make sure you get to this point what is the solution? But again, you're listening today. Raleigh Washington's going to be with us right here on the Treasure Coast of Florida coming up September the 25th. The 25th of September, the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. Now, we know there's a national day of prayer, but the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer is a day that's set aside for the purpose of praying over issues and needs that are right here in our region on the Treasure Coast of Florida. 6 o'clock that evening, we're going to have regional leaders. 7 o'clock, we're going to have Paul Wilbur, and we're going to have a tremendous evening. I stand with Israel and Raleigh, Washington, God willing. I'm going to be there, and you're going to be there as well. What is the solution?
The solution, in one word, is relationship. Racism is an issue, although they lie about it. But how do you resolve racism? If there's a genuine, bona fide relationship between a black person and a white person, it eliminates the relationship. How do you solve anti-Semitism that is so rampant? This is hatred against God's chosen people. If you have genuine, bona fide, committed relationship with God's chosen people, Amen. It solves the problem.
Amen.
Radical Islam, their Quran commands them to kill anyone, death to Jews, death to Christians, death to the infidel. That's anyone who is not Islamic. That's their Quran. How do you end that? There's only one way you can end it, is that when the radical Islamic, or all Islamics, understand that the true God is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if you embrace him and embrace his people in relationship, it ends the dynamic that happened. So relationship changes everything.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Karen, give the phone number out. We have two tickets for this event coming up on the 25th of September.
That number is 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100.
Third caller, not first, not second. Third caller is going to get these free two tickets. Third caller, we're messing it up today. 772-221-1100. Third caller to call into the station is going to get two tickets to the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. It is going to be in Martin County, Palm City, New Hope, 3900 Southwest Citrus Boulevard, Palm City, Florida. And we are looking to fill every one of those 700 seats in that gathering. There's some calls coming in. Going to be the third call. We're looking for the third caller. And so put your finger to the dial, 772-221-1100. Raleigh, quickly, what is the Star of David all about? I've heard a lot of discussion about that in the news. Can you give us just a little insight in that?
God gave Coach McCartney and myself the idea that we would change the tone of the yellow star that Jews had to wear during the Holocaust. And so we have now developed what we have as a golden Star of David lapel pin. And we challenge Gentiles, if they will understand what Scripture is saying, if they are willing to stand with God's chosen people, even at the risk of their life, if they're willing to do that, to honor God's chosen people, then we give them a golden star lapel pin, which is a signal that they're standing with Israel. I had lunch at J. Alexander's just yesterday, and the guy that came up, and he saw my star on my military cap. He said, "I see you got a Star of David there." I said, "Sure. Are you Jewish?" He said, "Yes, I am." I told him, "This star means, brother, that according to my Bible and the Messiah Jesus, I'm to stand with you." And it literally brought tears to his eyes.
Wow.
So we're going to give stars to people who come, and when they hear what's being said, if they're willing to make that kind of a commitment, well, we got a golden Star of David to give them.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, Raleigh Washington, dear brother, leader in the kingdom of God, we're so blessed, looking forward to having you with us right here with Paul Wilbur. And, of course, the body of Christ is going to come together, and this is going to be a great evening. Would you close with a moment of prayer with us, Raleigh, and just lift up this event?
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Almighty God who sent your only begotten Son.
Thank you, Lord.
To pay on the cross of Calvary the debt of all of our sins. We thank you. We love you. We praise. We honor and glorify your holy and righteous name. Lord, we acknowledge and recognize that in America and around the world, anti-Semitism is rampant. And Lord, this is hurtful to you. Young kids who are in college are being indoctrinated from the river to the sea. They don't know that that statement means the destruction of all Israel. But Lord, I pray that at the event that Treasure City is coming up, that you will fill the house, send standing room only, to hear a challenge from the Word of God to stand with God's chosen people. Lord, that's your desire. Jesus, you died for us. And it's now time for us to be willing to lay our life down for your people. And so this event will help us to understand why and how to do it. And we know that in so doing, it will bring honor and glory to your name and blessing to the life of each of us who are willing to stand with God's chosen people. Thank you for this privilege. And for every listening ear, may they respond and show up, be blessed like never before, and to go home with a golden star of David. I pray this in the matchless and majestic name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen and amen.
Raleigh, Washington, coming along with Paul Wilbur, coming September the 25th to the Treasure Coast of Florida, and going to be a great evening sponsored by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. You can go to tccalliance.com. You can pick up a ticket there, and I understand that David and Ann just picked up two tickets. Thank you very much, David and Ann Marie, and we are going to give more tickets away next week as we get closer to this event, so you're going to want to be listening in. Raleigh, God bless you. Stay in good health. May the Lord bring you all safely to God's chosen Treasure Coast down here.
Thank you, and shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. All right, we're going to go to a song, be back in just about a minute. I've got a guy who's been delivered from bank robbery that's sitting in the studio today, and we're going to talk about the goodness of God. You know, we all have a past, and I love what the Word of God says. It lists a whole bunch of things that nobody would want to claim a connection to, all kinds of sins, and then it says, such were some as of you. So that's who we are in the kingdom of God, and we're so glad you're listening. Keep your dial set right here. And of course, that's Paul Wilbur, and Paul Wilbur's going to be with us on September the 25th. Going to be at New Hope in Palm City. You can go to TCC Alliance, Treasure Coast Christian Alliance.com. come and you can pick up tickets there. Only $10, just looking to cover the cost of the event to bring this entire team into town. It is going to be an event you do not want to miss. Pastors, let your people know about it. Put it in the bulletin. Get the word out. Congregates, let your pastors know. And if you want to get a block of tickets, you can do that as well. And I don't know. We might even be able to figure out how to get groups together if you want to do that. But there's only 700 seats. And with the Alliance, we often have well over 1,000 people coming to some of the events we do. So we're trusting God that this is a spiritual breakthrough on the Treasure Coast of Florida. Jim, welcome.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Well,
as usual.
It is great to have you with us. You know, you've been serving God a while, but you didn't always serve God, did you?
No. I was a reprobate for a long time.
Yeah, well, tell us a little bit about your God story first, and then we want to hear a little of what's on your heart.
Well, I came to my senses at, I guess I was about 42 years old. I woke up in jail on the sixth floor of the Broward County Jail.
Broward County, right here. Are you a native Floridian?
I'm a native Floridian.
You're a native, yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, so you're...
Listen, I wreaked my havoc all over the state.
So. Wow, okay.
I wasn't affiliated with just one locale. But it just, you know, that was after 22 years of doing drugs and drinking and just generally being, you know, a ne'er-do-well. And I cried out. I tried. I'd been through drug programs. I've been to all types of, you know, outpatient, everything. Everybody did everything they could to help me. Mm. They really did. My parents didn't understand. They were clueless. They just didn't. I mean, this just got dropped on them at that time. They had no clue what to do. But, you know, it goes back to a relationship with a higher power. Hmm. I had refused to acknowledge that. I grew up in the Episcopal Church.
Really?
But I didn't know the church. Jesus had never been presented to me. I was an acolyte. I served in the church faithfully. I had all those pins for never missing a Sunday, but I didn't have a heart for Jesus. I didn't know him.
Yeah, not at all.
I was just a show up there Christian.
Yeah,
I wasn't even a Christian. I was just somebody that showed up because my family said I had to be at church on Sunday. So when I finally realized on the floor of the Broward County Jail that I needed a relationship with somebody that could show me the way, because I was missing so much.
That's good.
I didn't, you know, in my time out in the world, I had just lost all these things that other people that are going to work every day and building families and do. I didn't have any of that. I had a child. I had a son. I didn't know him. He couldn't be around me because of my behavior.
Right.
So, you know, I knew, but I didn't know it was time to reach out. And when I did, I mean, things started changing for me.
So you're on the floor of the jail.
Yeah.
You're crying out to God.
Yeah. And
what happened inside of you? What happened in your head?
It was just like I felt like all this evil, all these bad thoughts left me, and I watched them, Jonathan, go right out of a solid concrete wall. So, I mean, I watched this come up off of my body and just leave me. I felt like I felt like an empty balloon laying on the floor. And then and God needed to do that after so many years of me running from him. He needed to empty me out, and he did it. And from that point...
That was your born-again day.
That, boy, I'm going to tell you. When they said church, I was right there at the door. I didn't even know who it was. Didn't care. I just knew I needed the word.
Yeah.
I needed the word.
You're hungry.
You're a new creation. I was an empty vessel.
Wow.
And thankfully, there were some other things that happened. I had a roommate. That was God sent this guy to be my roommate for about 7 months in a county jail, and this guy schooled me.
Wow.
He had a knowledge of the Bible that was incredible for somebody that was like 30 years old.
Wow.
And that's how I know God sent him to me. Because I had all these questions.
You had a tutor right there.
He gave me a tutor. And then the way God works, he brings people in our lives and he takes people out of our lives. And believe it or not, that guy, I'd looked for him for years. Michael Ayers is his name. I finally found him. It took me 20 years to find him. And I got him on the phone, and I said, listen, you know, I can't tell you you know, I can't thank you enough for doing what you did for me 20 years ago in the Broward County Jail. And truth be told, something's going on in his life.
Mm.
And he rejected my call.
Wow.
I don't know. You know, I've tried. I've called back. I want to do for him what he did for me.
Yeah, so now you're an intercessor for him.
Yes, but I can't. I have his number. I call occasionally, and I leave messages, and I tell him I love you. You know, you're my brother.
Yeah.
You changed my life. You did what God asked you to do. Please call me. But he doesn't. So for whatever reason, I don't know.
So, Jim, after you blew so many years, how old were you at that time? You were 40?
Oh, I was 43, 44. 40,
yeah, so
around that neighborhood.
Did that mess God's plan up? Did God still have something for you to do?
Well, he had to retrain me. He had to get my mind right. And that was part of being in prison. I accepted that. I didn't fight it. I accepted it. This is where God wants me to be. I need to be here, and I'm going to absorb what he wants me to absorb from this, and I'm going to use it to make my life better. And you know the story. I'm on a bus headed out to...
I love this story.
Yeah, I'm headed on a bus. Prison bus headed out to the panhandle of Florida where they send everybody. And I passed a sign. They were working on Interstate 10, and there was a sign there. It just hit me right between the eyes. It, please excuse us. This is temporary inconvenience for permanent improvement. And I just took that and just put that right in my heart, you know, that I knew this is what God had for me to do, and I'm going to ride this horse till it goes to its knees. And it's never gone to its knees. So,
hallelujah.
You know, I'm just still – and not in this process, I mean, I had a son that I had no relationship with. Him. You know, God opened the door for me to have a relationship with him.
Yeah.
You know, now I've got three grandchildren.
Wow.
I got a great grandbaby from my grandson. I mean, it's just.
How's it being a great granddad? I mean, what's that feel like?
It's cool, but they want me to come up to Georgia and I'm done traveling.
Yeah,
I'm done traveling. So
yeah.
I'll see the little baby when she comes down here. But she, it's beautiful. And, you know, I want to say this to anybody that's listening, if there's a block in your life that's keeping you from crying out to Jesus, push it aside. Go in the bathroom. Go somewhere where there's nobody to see you or hear you, and get down on your knees and cry out to God and ask him to come into your life and just say, Father, I submit myself to you. Please change my life and draw me closer to you. And I can promise you, if you let it happen, it will happen.
Wow.
I can promise you, if you're sincere and you ask God for his help and you tell him you want to be your servant, his servant, he's going to make it happen.
So, Jim, for the parents that drug their kids to church and thought, you know, they're never going to straighten out, there's no hope for them, want to send out a shout of encouragement to them.
Yes. Don't stop. Just because of me.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
No, just
keep doing, because God put it on your heart and you're your children. You have a duty to do that. You have a duty to the kingdom to bring it to them. If they choose not to accept it, don't feel guilty. It's not on you. You did your job. I'm one of the same ones. It was presented to me, and I rejected it.
Yeah.
But fortunately, God had patience, and he waited on me.
He does, for all of us.
40 years he waited on me.
Yeah, 40 years.
I mean, I accepted the Lord was probably, I was 16 or I was 17, I think, at the First Baptist Church in Apopka. I'd actually gone with my son's mom because she was my girlfriend.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be there with her. I really didn't care about any of that.
Right.
But that call, that altar call at the First Baptist Church of Apopka, that altar call went out and I couldn't say no. I was drawn to it. And then I turned around and for 22 years I ran as hard as I could away from Jesus.
Wow.
But he was waiting on me.
And when you cried out, he was listening.
When I cried out, listen.
He was listening.
He never rejected me.
Yeah.
I see him daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. This is over 30 years for me now, opening doors for me, closing doors where he needs to close them, bringing people into my life, taking people out of my life.
Yeah.
I had a little situation with some family members.
Yeah.
I could have died in that situation, and he protected me.
Yeah, he did.
You know, so.
Awesome.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
So, Chelsea, you're a little younger than Jim, aren't you?
A little.
You never robbed a bank?
No.
Never robbed a bank? That's good. See,
that's
this is good,
yes.
Jim. This is good. So, never had any desire to, I don't suppose.
No.
But what about your relationship with God? Did you have a time when you came to God as well?
I was probably when I felt the closest to God. It was at a summer camp 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I just remember hearing this one song, and it just it really hit me. And after that, like, it just changed so much stuff. It showed me what I needed to do and what I needed to leave behind me.
Awesome. What was the song? You remember it?
It was called The Blood by Passion.
Okay. The Blood by Passion. Yeah. Great, great group. Yeah. So what is the message of that song? What spoke to you?
It's about a guy. So it's a guy singing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about his old life and how God just watched him.